to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. At the Queen of Dragons, we house a remarkable selection of fresh, locally sourced, top-shelf indoor premium products packaged daily. Our prices start at just $25 per eighth. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. We're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Queen Dragons. Join our vibrant community, The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Visit us at www.queenofdragons.com or call 530-276-9771 to evaluate your cannabis experience today.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie, now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Well, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown again. Glad to have you with me. Appreciate you joining in again this weekend. Rules of engagement are pretty easy. First and foremost, if you want to ask me anything or tell me anything, you simply use our text message service. Text the word Michael and or Mike or Michael and your message to this number, 33103. So on your smartphone, you just type in the phone number 33103. In the message box, you just start it out with the word Mike or Michael and type your message. And I read them throughout the program. I read them throughout the week. I read them all the time. So regardless of when you're hearing my voice, if you're listening, if your affiliate carries at a different time, or you're listening on the podcast, you can text me anytime because I'm constantly reading the text messages and that line is always open. So text the word Mike or Michael to 33103. And I might just add, when I say tell me anything or ask me anything, I sincerely mean that. For those of you who listen to my weekday program, you know that oftentimes the text messages will send me down a rabbit hole or send me off on some tangent because of something that somebody asks or says. So text messages are pretty important for all of you to engage with the program. Second, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you want to listen to the program live or download the podcast, if you want to follow me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you want to see some of the stories that we've talked about, you can find everything in a one-stop shop. Just says michaelsaysgohere.com. michaelsaysgohere.com. That's all you need to know. Everything about me, the bio, everything's on that website. So let's get started. I want to talk about George Orwell a little bit. Because, now, I'm not an Orwellian historian. I've read Orwell. And, in fact, I grew up in an era, which I find kind of fascinating, that when I was in, must have been 10th grade. I was either my freshman year or 10th grade, freshman or sophomore year in high school. Now, I went to high school in a small rural Oklahoma town, but the school system was amazing. When I look back on the education that I got back in the 60s, you know, when I'm old enough to kind of remember what's going on, I said a thing about being in the 60s last night at dinner, and somebody said, you're not a child of the 60s. I don't mean that I was like, I wasn't a child. I wasn't like a hippie in 1969 or anything like that. But I was in school. I was in high school in the 60s and junior high and high school. And when I think back on, like, I had one literature teacher. Mr. McBratney was his name. And Mr. McBratney was one of these guys that truly believed that all sorts of literature was a great way to, one, to teach people how to critically think, to learn about different cultures, to learn about history. He saw literature as this door that opened up the universe to almost anything. So we read things like Ayn Rand. We read Orwell, in addition to all the other stuff, the typical things like Shakespeare and all that. But we read everything. And I look back on that, and you think about the formative years, and again, I think it was 10th grade, may have been 9th grade, but I think it was a sophomore year. You think about a student's mind at that age and how influential that can be, not just on their worldview, but on how they develop a worldview, because it teaches you how to think. It exposes you You know, we live in a world where everyone's trying to limit exposure. Everybody runs to their corners. Nobody wants to hear a dissenting opinion. I've got a story we're going to do later today that I did during the week about a Pew poll that's out that generations behind us boomers are really, really getting closed-minded. And they really can't stand hate speech or speech that is dissenting opinion. And that really concerns me. So as I'm doing all of that, I'm really thinking about George Orwell. Orwell believed, for example, Orwell believed that language used in whatever context was almost always necessarily vague or meaningless because language is often used to hide the truth rather than to express the truth. And you can find that essay online if you just go Google or DuckDuckGo or Bing, however you do your search, and you start searching for Orwell essays, you'll find Politics in the English Language. I think he drew from that essay to craft his seminal work, 1984. Much of it involves the use of language in writing. But I think it's really worth reading the entire thing. So I guess my assignment for you already this weekend is, if you look up Politics in the English Language by George Orwell and read that essay, I think you'll understand kind of what I'm talking about. Orwell was really a good novelist, but most people don't think of him as a brilliant essayist. And I really think he was a great essayist too. Back in his time, Orwell was similar to what we would describe these days as red-pilled. He had kind of been converted. Politically, he favored Democrat socialism. But interestingly, he abhorred totalitarianism in all forms. And I think that's because he could understand, but he couldn't tolerate the bullcrap that comes in all forms of totalitarianism. Now, Orwell picks apart phraseology and the use of words really as a means of diverting attention from the real issue. And I think progressives, by and large, employ the use of language as a means to attack what you and I believe and using it as a mean of neutralizing criticism. And you can see, if you think back, go back to the 60s, when what we would call then liberal Democrats, John F. Kennedy, for example, or Bobby Kennedy, we're going to talk about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. later in the program today too. When you think about what they actually stood for, it's almost as if we would look today as conservative Republicans, libertarian Republicans, even moderate Republicans. But those of us on the right side of the political spectrum would look at those from back in the 60s and say, oh, actually, you were part of us. And I don't know whether that means that we have moved more to the center or they were already in the center and the left has moved so far to the left. You see that ruler, that 12-inch ruler of the political spectrum with 6 inches being the center, the moderate on both sides, continually shifts back and forth. And so I think we look at liberal Democrats of the 60s and look at them today and say, well, some of your policies may still be progressive or liberal. I mean, Lyndon Johnson's a great example of that. But you look at some of the other stuff, his welfare, his great society is really just a gigantic welfare program. But you look beyond that and you realize that really a lot of stuff that he stood for, we kind of agree with. But you think about how language has changed. Abortion rights. We don't talk about abortion rights anymore. What do we talk about? We talk about reproductive health care. And this one is so new, and I'm fascinated watching this. We don't talk about puberty blockers anymore. The medical term are puberty blockers. Those are pharmaceuticals that are prescribed. They're prescription drugs that prevent children from going through puberty. Now, you can't tell me, if you just think about what the definition of a puberty blocker is, you can't tell me that doesn't have psychological effects on kids. But that's we don't talk about puberty blockers anymore. Now we talk about sex change operations for minors and how it's gender-affirming care. Yeah, no, what we're doing is we're stopping puberty so that we can not, so that we can take kids who are already confused and really screw up their hormones and really screw up all of the things rushing through their bodies at just the time that they're already confused anyway. Gun control legislation? No, no, no. We can't talk about gun control legislation. It's gun safety legislation. And I think most of eternity, most of the history of mankind, we've always talked about mothers. But no, 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 no. Now it's pregnant persons. Of course, my favorite is a birthing person. So we have this constant debate about specific words and how words get spoken, what terminology somebody might use, and the overall policing of language. We actually have policing of language going on now. And it for me, anyway, it's exhausting. When I finished the weekend program yesterday on a Friday, I left just exhausted, truly exhausted, because we are just being bombarded so much stuff that really detracts from actual, sincere debate about legitimate issues. There's an example that comes out of Arizona. Congressman Eli Crane of Arizona said the phrase colored people on the House floor during a debate over amendments to the National Defense Authorization Act. NBC described it as a derogatory term. However, the phrase people of color, POC, is one that progressives use all the time. If you've seen the term BIPOC, the acronym BIPOC, B-I-P-O-C, you know what it stands for? People of Black, Indigenous, People of Color. NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. So there's really zero difference between people of color and colored people. But for whatever reason, we want to latch and argue about that rather than whatever the issue was in the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, that he really wanted to discuss. So that said, I think it's fair to say that descriptive terms have changed over the years. And what's the effect of that? The effect of that is that it stifles debate. And I want to give you some examples, and I'm going to use Orwell to get you thinking about when you hear something on the news, the radio, even from me, think about the words that are chosen. That's what we're going to do next. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Michael in your message to 33103. Go to michaelsaysgohere.com. Hang tight. We'll continue that right after this.
Are you tired of watching stock market swings? Want to say goodbye to the wild shifts in your portfolio? You deserve an investment that delivers consistent monthly returns and is built on solid American ground. Phoenix Capital Group invites you to invest in the heart of America and support U.S. energy independence. They're introducing investors to high-value oil and gas investments here in the U.S. They connect private investors like you with investments in tangible oil and gas assets. Phoenix Capital Group offers high-yield corporate bonds to investors with returns of 8 to 12% annual interest paid monthly. These are corporate bond offerings and they're open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. To find out more, download the Phoenix Capital Group's free investor guide packet today at investingwithphoenix.com. Before making investment decisions, you should carefully consider and review all risks involved. Learn how to diversify your portfolio and earn 8 to 12% annual interest with Phoenix Capital Group. Learn more and invest in America at investingwithphoenix.com. That's investingwithphoenix.com.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M. Brew.
The Exodus. Movies have been made about it. Scholars have debated for years about when it happened. Biblical evidence says 1445 B.C. Liberals say 1299 through 1232. It's the quintessential story of freedom that inspired America's initial 13 colonies to take on tyrant King George.
Wow, that makes sense. And Exodus also gives us God's law as revealed to Moses on Sinai. There's no more amazing spectacle in all of history than the biblical Exodus account.
That's right, Jane. And Monday, September 5th through December the 11th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Shasta Bible College and Graduate School, Dr. Wright, a gifted communicator who successfully defended his doctoral dissertation on the early date of Exodus at the University of Vienna, will teach a fascinating class on the book of Exodus. I'm Dr. Dave Nicholas, here with Chaplain Jane D'Angelo. We enthusiastically encourage you not to miss this unique class.
I encourage you to enroll today for this inspiring and life-changing class with Dr. Paul Wright.
That's right. Call 530-221-4275 today. That's 530-221-4275 and register for credit or audit.
Join Token's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Really glad to have you with me. Appreciate you tuning in. And by the way, I appreciate all the text messages during the break. Interesting. Some of you are listening to a podcast from this past week's weekday show, and let's just say you're a bunch of smartasses, which, of course, I like because I think, I think many of you are too. So we're talking about George Orwell and the use of language and how we have got to start paying so much closer attention to language that is used and how it is used to stifle debate, stifle dissent, and how it's used to change the agenda. And I gave all those examples earlier about, you know, abortion rights, reproductive health care, puberty blockers, you know, gender-affirming care, gun control is now gun safety, mothers now birthing persons, and the example when Congressman Crane of Arizona referred to colored people on a debate on the floor of the House of Representatives. And, of course, the minute I heard that story during the week, the first thing I thought of was the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And then I thought about BIPOC, the acronym that stands for Black Indigenous People of Color. So I don't know, is there a difference between people of color and colored people? Because the NAACP still uses it. So I think it's fair to say that descriptive terms have changed over the years, and people do want agency for who they are. And I absolutely recognize that. I think regardless of what your race is, regardless of what your ethnicity is, regardless of what your political beliefs are, your religious beliefs, everything about who makes up what you and who you are, you want some agency over how that is described. You know, it was acceptable at one point to say the word cripple instead of disabled. And then disabled moved to physically challenged. And I suppose that if you have some sort of abnormality, can see, and even then I go, abnormality. Or if you have some sort of physical defect, physical defect, is the word defect appropriate? If you have something, then that would cause you to have previously been called a cripple, you might be offended by that today. It's, you know, I have a disability. You know what my disability is? I'm a lawyer. Yeah, I'm a lawyer. So I get all the lawyer jokes. In fact, during the weekday program, for the first time, because I usually challenge people, really? Tell me a lawyer joke I haven't heard. because I've heard every lawyer joke you can imagine. Well, guess what happened this week? Somebody came up with a lawyer joke I hadn't heard. Do you know what you call two lawyers parachuting out of an airplane? You know what that is? I've never heard this before. Skeet. Skeet. Pull. Kaboom. Shoot them out of the sky. I thought it was funny. Some lawyers will find it offensive. I found it funny because it was new, it was clever, something I hadn't heard before. I suppose there are words, descriptors, that people, for whatever reason, take offense to. But if you're scared to use any word, just like when I said, if you have a physical abnormality, I confess that in my brain, the word abnormality stuck out. Abnormality. Well, what is an abnormality? It's something that is not normal. It's, if you've ever seen Young Frankenstein, it's abnormal. Abnormal. But rather than just saying, okay, that word, you know, kind of makes me cringe, or that word is, it's still actually a valid English word. Still in the dictionary. You can find every word I just used. You can still find that in Merriam-Webster. You can find it in the Oxford English Dictionary. You can find them everywhere. But here's what happens. I think, well, Crane said, the congressman from Arizona, said that he misspoke when he used the phrase colored people. And he asked, in fact, he insisted, that the words be changed to people of color instead of colored people. But Democrats insisted that the words get stricken from the record. And Republicans agreed just to do that, to put the silly incident to bed. But that didn't stop everybody from just engaging in this outrage with comments such as showing who he truly is, another bunch of psychobabble. You know, the word Negro is actually a legitimate word. But then people have shifted from that to colored people, to people of color, to BIPOC, to whatever. And I understand that standards change, and I understand that language changes, but do we have to get so outraged by it? Isn't the more important analysis should be the context in which a particular word is used, and whether or not it's used as a pejorative, as a derogatory word, or to Orwell's point, what are you trying to hide? Or what are you trying to avoid, rather than just speaking the truth? All of these trivialities about words and phrases really came crashing down in a story that I think we touched on the weekend program. I conflate the weekend and the weekday programs. But it had to do over that. The almost universal outrage over the attack on Florida's public school slavery curriculum. Well, what got everybody in an uproar? You probably think you know. Let's find out whether you do or not coming up next. It's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Michael to 33103. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
You checked the legal title to your home. What if your home's title, the document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? That's home title theft. Our home's titles are online. Once a criminal forges your signature, it's a race against time to stop him before he takes out loans against your home, or worse, sells it. When's the last time you checked your home's title? Our partners at Home Title Lock demonstrated how criminals do it. In minutes, they found the titles to homes belonging to our staff with forged signatures, saying our staff had sold them their homes. Some criminal was now the owner. It's shocking, but Home Title Lock helps shut it down. That's what they do better than anyone. How do you know some criminal hasn't taken over the title to your home? Find out for free with sign up when you use promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. That's promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. And your first 30 days of protection are free. Do this today at HomeTitleLock.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What's being hidden from us? About the COVID-19 scenario? About covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world? About the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse? If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie.
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Orwellian Weekend with Michael Brown. Talking about George Orwell and the use of language. Because I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I think language is is being so bastardized by everybody, and now everybody is so overly sensitive. And then, of course, once we're overly sensitive because we have team outrage out there that regardless of what you say, whether it's intentional or unintentional, whether it reveals your true character or it's a slip of the tongue, either way, it causes the outrage, and people are just afraid of the outrage. And don't get me wrong, I understand that. I understand how people are not just afraid of the outrage. People are sick of the outrage. And so most people go through life just not wanting to be the, you know, to be in the center of outrage, to be in the center of controversy, because life's too short. But then there are people like me that get paid. I don't get paid to be outrageous. I get paid to speak my mind and to challenge you and to challenge not just my thinking, but your thinking. So let's go back to this whole uproar over the curriculum in Florida. All of this outrage came crashing down because of Florida's public school slavery curriculum. Now, if you want to see a condensed version of just how sweeping and detailed, you can see there are 191 standards, 191 standards for curriculum about slavery in the Florida school system. But the one that has everybody in uproar is just one single one. Instruction includes how slaves develop skills which, in some instances, could be applied for their personal benefit. So what did the dishonest critics do? They changed the entire meaning. Kamala Harris, just yesterday in the state of Florida, she said, they decided middle school students will be taught that enslaved people benefited from slavery. Now, nowhere does it say that enslaved people benefited from slavery. It's not even close to saying that. That's not just a misrepresentation. That is a lie. Instruction includes how slaves develop skills which, in some instances, could be applied for their personal benefit. You know where that phrase comes from? Do you know where that concept comes from? Frederick Douglass himself. How do we know that this is some sort of ginned-up outrage? The College Board's 2023 Advanced Placement African American Studies course includes coursework around labor culture and the economy. One section in the current College Board's Advanced Placement African American Studies says this: in addition to agricultural work, enslaved people learned specialized trades and worked as painters, carpenters, tailors, musicians, and healers in the North and South. Once free, African Americans used these skills to provide for themselves and others. Now, this is the same advanced placement course for which Kamala Harris lost her mind when Florida rejected it due to a section that contained all sorts of ridiculousness wrapped in anti-racism drivel and subjects such as black queer theory. Now, I expect politicians to lie. They do it all the time. The problem, of course, is the press picked up Harris's lie and ran with it, using the exact same language, claiming that Florida would now teach that enslaved people benefited from slavery. They did not benefit from slavery. Slavery was abhorrent. Slavery was evil. Absolutely, I believe. And in fact, the slavery that continues today throughout the world is evil moving throughout the world. And nobody benefits from slavery. But you cannot deny, as Frederick Douglass acknowledged, that those people who earned or learned to be painters, carpenters, tailors, musicians, healers in the North and South, that once free, they used those skills to provide for themselves and others. They used those skills to become productive citizens. Nobody's claiming that slavery itself, that they benefited from slavery. Nobody benefits from slavery. To get a sense of just how absurd the entire episode is and how it really exposes how supposedly educated people have issues with basic grammar, Patrick O'Sullivan, Patrick O'Sullivan, he's a former NHL professional hockey player. He's also someone who detailed the horrendous emotional and physical abuse that he suffered at the hands of his father, the man who taught him how to play hockey. You'll learn how, if you read his story, you'll learn how O'Sullivan continued to get better at hockey despite the abuse from his father, not because of the abuse from his father. He details that incredibly well. O'Sullivan, despite growing up in an abusive household, took the skills he learned, worked hard, and became a professional hockey player. How ingloriously stupid would that be to interpret that as claiming that he benefited from child abuse? Nobody would say that. They couldn't because there's no political agenda attached to it. But that is how someone can twist words around and give an entirely new meaning and say with a straight face that it's no different from the actual words. It's easy to go back and apply what Orwell wrote in his essay. But if thought corrupts language, Orwell wrote, language can also corrupt thought. It's a great sentence. But if thought corrupts language, language can also corrupt thought. A bad usage can spread by tradition and imitation, even among people who should and do know better. And all of this applies to politicians. It applies to the press. All of that is Orwellian. All Orwellian. Slaves did not benefit from slavery. Mr. Sullivan did not benefit from the child abuse that he suffered at the hands of his father. But in both cases, they took skills, and in spite of the slavery, and in spite of the child abuse, went on to become great Americans, become great productive members of society. And we should celebrate that. We should recognize that when people do wonderful things, it's, you know, when I was a baby lawyer, I had a friend. She's now deceased. She was also a lawyer. And she and I became, we ended up working in the same law firm together. And I often think about her because she was horribly abused by her biological father. She was sexually abused, physically abused, emotionally abused, everything. And it caused her a lot of psychological damage. It caused her a lot of physical damage. And I believe, as a result of the sexual, emotional, and physical abuse that she suffered as a child, she suffered with obesity throughout her entire life. She died at a young age. She's been dead, I don't know, 20 years now. But she didn't benefit from that child abuse. She instead was determined to not let that child abuse define her life. She went on to do well in high school, to do well in undergraduate school, in graduate school, to become a very successful lawyer. And you know what she became successful at? She represented abused children. She took on child abuse cases left and right, all the time. She didn't benefit from the child abuse. But what she did was, she took what she suffered, and she turned that into a productive skill, and she became an incredible productive member of society whose life was taken way too soon. Way too soon. So just think about how Orwellian language can control how and what we think. Because if we ignore language, if we ignore the meaning behind language, if we ignore that sometimes language can be hurtful, language can be helpful, and that language can sometimes be used to expose the truth, and language can be used to hide the truth. So the challenge becomes, which is incredibly difficult, that as you consume all of the news and the stories and all of which is surrounded by outrage and all of which is surrounded by just this constant bombardment of learning to be discerning about language and what are they really trying to say or what does it really expose or tell you about what the agenda is, whether it's politics, it's in business, it's in the workplace, or it's the home, wherever Orwell, go back and find the essay, Politics and the English Language by Orwell. Politics and the English Language. And then from this day forward, whether it's me or any other talk show or anything on the news or anywhere else that you read, be cognizant of the language. It always goes back to the language. When we get back, the Washington Post celebrates homosexuality with the Boy Scouts. I'll be right back.
Go with your guts. Go with Dynavite. 70% of your dog's immune system is based in the gut. So for overall health, good nutrition is vital. But how can you be sure your dog is getting the nutrition they need? A diet lacking proper nutrients can present issues like itching, scratching, and a weak immune system. However, there is a solution. Dinovite. Dynovite is the delicious nutritional supplement created to boost your dog's overall health. And the reviews are incredible.
Poor Sam, he was a mess, always itching. Probably 2 weeks after he started Dynovite, I started to see improvements, and today 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Right now, try Dynovite for free. Just pay shipping and handling. Learn more at Dynovite.com/radio. That's Dinovite.com/radio.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynovite.
Hey friends, please join us at Reading Civic Auditorium for the first annual Justice Crab Feed October 21st to raise money in the fight against human trafficking in Reading and abroad.
All proceeds go directly to Hard Places Community and Justice 180, both nonprofit organizations. Tickets are available at $75 each, or you can get a table sponsorship as well. For more information, go to justicecrabfeed@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at justicecrabfeed.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M Brew.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older or persons with disabilities
of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact the SA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
Welcome back to the Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Text the word Michael to 33103. Go to the website, michaelsaysgohere.com. So, you know, the Boy Scouts of America have been just confronted with controversy ever since they decided that, you know, you can have gay scout leaders and you can have, you know, gay scouts, which seems to me to be pretty normal. Well, the Washington Post says this: amid the hundreds of tents erected for the Boy Scouts of America's National Jamboree, one especially stands out, decorated with a canopy of LGBTQ pride flags and a string of multicolored lights, its tables covered with bowls of rainbow bracelets, pronoun stickers, and diversity patches. 18-year-old River Capel, a scout volunteer from Northern Virginia, who describes themselves as non-binary and pansexual, this is my entire world. River says the embrace of sexual preferences by the Boy Scouts has been incredibly welcoming and positive. Now, many people would find offense to that. The facts are this: the organization lost nearly half of its membership between 2019 and 2020. The national event, the National Jamboree, represents one of its first steps out of a generational nadir that brought about by the pandemic. A sexual abuse scandal, and then an ensuing bankruptcy. And the Boy Scouts had barely resolved its struggle over membership policies by fully admitting gay men in 2015, and then trans boys in 2017, and then cisgender girls in 2018, and then they started facing an avalanche of sexual abuse claims. And they ended up settling a $2.46 billion settlement because of all of the abuse. So the Scouts, whether you agree with their policies or you don't agree with their policies, have now, because of the overreaction and because of, well, I leave it to you. Was it right to admit gays? Was it right to admit transgenders? Or did they, and if it was right to do so, did they then fail, utterly fail, to prevent abuse? Or the other thing that the Washington Post doesn't want to point out, any abuse that took place prior to those admission dates. You see, what the Washington Post is really trying to do is they're trying to do, once again, a demarcation, a division. And they're trying to point out that, oh my gosh, look, the Boy Scouts have, at the National Jamboree, they have a pride flag, and isn't that wonderful? And oh, by the way, they have all these sexual abuse charges against them. And they settled a $2.46 billion settlement. Maybe what we ought to be looking at in terms of the Boy Scouts would be, aren't you policing your membership? Are you not policing your leadership? Because you can't just say, because you've now admitted gay Boy Scouts or transgender or cisgender girls into the program, you can't just say that at that point, boom, from that point forward, all the abuse occurred. You got to look backwards, too. But nobody ever wants to look backwards. And the same thing is happening I think, generally speaking, with children at large, we're now putting political issues onto children. Why? Why not let them be kids? There's an article that came across the transom for me about one of the problems we have with kids today, with all of the anxiety, all of the mental problems, all of the psychotropic drugs that we're putting them on, all the Adderall, all the medication for ADHD, is because we don't let kids play anymore. We just don't let them play. We just don't let them be kids. Well, the reaction to that, I think, is wrong. Because the reaction to that is what we see in California. There is a bill in California, AB 957, that says that it would include a parent's affirmation of the child's gender identity or gender expression as part of the health, safety, and welfare of the child. The California Globe reports the bill would cause a parent to lose custody for not affirming or agreeing to a child's claims about gender identity. Wait a minute. Isn't that a decision for the parents and the doctor? I hesitate, but I am going to bring in abortion to the subject, because don't we always hear that that is a decision between that woman and her doctor? Of course, I would include the father of the child, too. But isn't that a decision to be made by them and not by the government? Well, couldn't we say the same thing here? Why are we bringing the government in and saying that a parent could lose custody for failing to affirming or agreeing to a child's claim about gender identity? There's a related bill, AB 665, that passed the state assembly back in April. It's now made its way into the California Senate chambers. It would allow a minor as young as 12 to be emancipated from his or her parents and transferred into state custody without a court order. Both of these bills will soon become law. And if one or both pieces pass, there's no doubt in my mind that they'll go straight to the desk of Gavin Newsom and he'll sign those. In fact, I fully expect him to sign those. But what we're doing is we're taking away parental discretion about what they want to do or not do with their children and inserting the government into that. So whether it's the Boy Scouts making a decision among their membership and their own leadership about what to do, and then trying to somehow tie that decision to a $2.46 billion settlement for sex abuse, at the same time, they were telling parents, but you can't have any control over your children. And the state's going to do that. When you start giving the state that much power over children, why have parents? Simply, why have parents? When we get back, let's talk a little bit about the climate, because it's hotter than hell everywhere, right? 200 million Americans suffering from a heat wave. Well, what's that heat wave causing, other than
I'm Joe Sweeney. I founded the Acervo Project in response to the growing epidemic of human trafficking and child exploitation. Classifying this as an epidemic is an understatement. Our investigation teams and cyber analysts are tracking child predators every day. We're making a difference, but we need your help. The average age of a trafficked child is just 14 years old. Will you join the Acervo Project team? Donate $14 a month to protect the next at-risk 14-year-old. Pledge your $14 a month at theacervoproject.org. That's ASSERVO.org.
Go with your gut. Your dog's immune system is based in the gut. A diet lacking in nutrients can cause itching, scratching, and a weak immune system. However, there is a solution. DINOVITE. DINOVITE.
It took a grand total of 2 weeks. The dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out.
Try DINOVITE for free. Just pay shipping and handling. Learn more at DINOVITE.com/radio.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with DINOVITE.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hey friends, please join us at Reading Civic Auditorium for the first annual Justice Crab Feed October 21st to raise money in the fight against human trafficking in Reading and abroad.
All proceeds go directly to Heart Places Community and Justice 180, both nonprofit organizations. Tickets are available at $75 each, or you can get a table sponsorship as well. For more information, go to justicecrabfeed@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at Justice.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Biden on his way to Florida's Big Bend region today to tour the hurricane damage and promise help for residents whose homes and businesses were lost or damaged. Here's correspondent Jackie Quinn.
Florida's governor says progress is being made in restoring power and finding temporary shelter. Ron DeSantis, a Republican rival, challenging President Biden's reelection bid, says he hopes the president doesn't interfere with recovery operations.
It would be very disruptive to have the whole security apparatus that goes.
Because the area affected is mostly rural, the insurance industry is not expected to take a huge hit from this storm. There's also damage in Valdosta, Georgia, and flooding in the Carolinas. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley says if she's elected president, she'll refocus what she says is the country's outdated intelligence service.
And don't forget that when we talk about modernizing the military, make sure that we have the most up-to-date ammunition and equipment to prevent our men and women in the military, we also have to make sure we have the most up-to-date intelligence. And we are archaic in that.
Presidential candidate Nikki Haley was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network this week. If you're trying to squeeze in one last summer trip over the Labor Day weekend, expect a lot of company. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says you can also expect crowded airports and full flex.
This weekend is capping what TSA reports is the busiest summer travel period on record.
Federal Aviation Administration predicts this will be the third busiest holiday weekend of the year so far, behind Juneteenth and President's Day. Margaritaville singer-songwriter Jimmy Buffett has passed away at age 76. A statement on the website says that he died on Friday, surrounded by family and friends. More from townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Are you one of the nearly 10 million families that own a timeshare? Unfortunately, many families stuck in timeshares have learned the dark side of ownership, as their timeshare ends up being nothing like they were promised. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. If you were lied to when buying a timeshare, you're going to need help. I know this because I once worked as a timeshare salesman, but quit the business and made it my personal mission to help folks get rid of bad timeshares. That's why I put together a timeshare exit information kit to help you understand how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation. Over 30,000 families have trusted us to get rid of their timeshares. Many started out by simply calling us for the free information kit and are now timeshare free.
To get your free information kit, call Wesley Financial now. 800-939-1331. That's 800-939-1331. 800-939-1331.
A big bird bust in the state of Texas.
Six Cubans living in Houston are accused of smuggling songbirds, a violation of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. Texas Parks and Wildlife says the birds are often used in singing competitions, which are common in Cuba. The bird owners gamble thousands of dollars. The feds seized hundreds of birds, which had been trapped as they migrated through Texas. They've now been turned over to the Houston Zoo. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
NYU professor and author Jonathan Haidt says mobile phone use is depriving kids of real-world play. He says that's something especially harmful for boys. He says they need their play to be outdoor, physical, in mixed-age groups, and potentially dangerous.
But they're testing their limits. They're learning about the physical world. They're learning their capacities. And in the process, they are creating an incredibly tight bond. So boys in particular, that's the way boys bond. They're not by talking face-to-face. Boys have adventures shoulder-to-shoulder.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. India has launched its first space mission to study the sun. Here's the BBC's Annie Green with more information on that space project.
The mission, which is called Aditya L1, the word for sun in Hindi, will have a clear view of the sun, which the Indian Space Research Organization says will be a great advantage to observe solar activities. Among several objectives, it's aiming to study the drivers for space weather and to better understand the dynamics of solar wind.
And that is the BBC's Annie Green. American employers added 187,000 jobs in August. Heritage Foundation public finance economist E.J. Antoni says one troubling trend is showing no signs of letting up.
The number of downward revisions this year in the jobs numbers is absolutely astonishing. It's bordering on a statistical impossibility.
And that is economist Joe Antoni. More details at townhall.com.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved three offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, welcome to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Appreciate you tuning in. These are the rules of engagement for the program. They're pretty easy. I think even you goobers can follow along, all right? First and foremost, if you want to text me, which I truly do appreciate text messages, I read every single text message that comes in. I can't reply to all of them, but I do read every single one that you send. Text the word Michael in your message to this number, 33103, 33103. Just type in the word Mike or Michael, and then tell me what your message is. I read every single one of them. Then second, if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, if you'd like to listen to the podcast, you'd like to follow me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now Threads. If you would like to see some of the stories we post, if you'd like to see the interactive map of all the affiliates that carry the program over the weekend and find out where those affiliates are, find one in your area, find out what time they carry the program, you can do all of that. If you want to do any of those things, go to one simple website, michaelsaysgohere.com. michaelsaysgohere.com. That's all you need to know. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, on your podcast app, here's what you search for. The Situation with Michael Brown. That gets you the weekday podcast and the weekend podcast all combined into one. The Situation with Michael Brown. Search for that on iHeart, on Apple iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. Search for The Situation with Michael Brown. Click subscribe and then leave a 5-star review. Do that too. Leave a 5-star review. So let's get started. I want to do a potpourri of stories that, quite frankly, some of them I just didn't get to this week, that nonetheless I think are worth our time, and I want you to hear about them. Let's get started. You know, we had, after withdrawal from Afghanistan, we had all of these interpreters, contractors, and their families that did yeoman's work for us, for the United States of America. And we were supposed to give them special visas to get into the United States. Because we know, and it's being proven, that the Taliban was going to hunt them down and kill them, and kill their families, for having dared cooperate with the enemy, meaning us, the United States. Well, now imagine being an interpreter who survived actually working alongside U.S. Special Forces fighting the Taliban for an entire decade, for 10 years, gets to America, has been shot and killed in Washington, D.C. Nasrat Amdiar, father of four, is said to have come to America to be safe, according to Jeremy Malone, a person who runs an organization that assists Afghans resettling in this country. You can find photos online of this gentleman taken while he and his family lived in Afghanistan, wearing military fatigues, carrying a rifle alongside U.S. Special Forces. Then after fleeing to America following Joe Biden's botched withdrawal from the country, which is now more under Taliban control than it was before the 2001 invasion. The Taliban controls more of Afghanistan today than it did when we invaded in 2001. So this Afghan comes to this country, settles in Philadelphia, but decides that Philadelphia is too violent, so he moves to Washington, D.C. D.C., unfortunately, proved not to be safer for Nasrat. He was killed by a gunshot to the stomach while working as a Lyft driver. There is surveillance footage. It shows four young males running from the scene of the crime, but as of the most recent time that I looked at this story, which is, about 2 hours ago, nobody's been arrested. He was the 10th person killed in D.C. over a period of just 5 days. D.C. has some of the most strict gun laws of any place in the country. Now, I'm not going to politicize this gentleman's murder. But for every single person who keeps telling me that the problem are law-abiding citizens who have guns, that is simply not the case. The problem are the thugs, the ne'er-do-wells, the gangbangers, all of the people in this country who will not follow any laws, and which many Soros-backed prosecutors will not prosecute. They're the problem, not you and me. The 10th person killed in the nation's capital over a period of just 5 days. Two a day. It is so difficult to get a concealed carry permit in Washington, D.C., that most people just give up. It's horrible, but people want to claim that somehow, oh no, it's not the gangbangers, it's not the criminals, it's us. Tell that to his family. Speaking of wars, let's go back to Ukraine for a moment. The war in Ukraine is actually becoming part of just ordinary life. And according to one story that I read, even a sort of haven for soldiers on the front lines, in spite of all the violence. There's a combat paramedic in the Ukrainian army and a former member of parliament who wrote an op-ed for the Washington Post this week. It's a fascinating and disheartening opinion piece. Now, this individual, Yerhov Fursov, I'm not intentionally mispronouncing his name, Yehor Firsov, Fursov, is a combat paramedic in the Ukrainian army, and he's a former member of parliament. He regularly appears across media. If you watch any media at all, he appears across all sorts of media publications. He discusses in his article the nonchalant behavior among local people, seemingly challenging the infamous Blitz spirit which gripped London in the early 1940s during the bombing of London. Quote, he says, "These days, the city is often shelled. But that doesn't keep dozens of teenagers from gathering and playing volleyball at the sports field. Not even the sound of nearby explosions stops them. The game continues as though nothing is happening. Despite the daily violence, he writes, the war has become a sort of haven for some. One of the officers in my company just turned 60. Not 16, 60, 60. According to the law, this means he has to retire. You would think that he would be packing his stuff to go home to his wife and children. Instead, he's trying to find a loophole in the law so he can stay on. Now, he once confessed, this 60-year-old, I've been here for almost 10 years. I have authority among the men. I have a clear mission. And there, in Vinciana, who needs me there? If I retire, I'm just another pensioner with two concussions. I find that story fascinating because it shows the depths, not of despair, but the depths to which people will go to find meaning in their life. And in this case, the war in Ukraine, it shows that they have a mission. And that mission is they want to expel the invaders. They love their land. They love their country. They love everything about it. And rather than just go home and sit on the front porch and be a pensioner with two concussions, he'd rather be on the front lines. Wow. Now, compare and contrast that with the current polling that shows that most Americans have no interest in the military. They have no interest in serving. They have no interest in whatsoever becoming a part of a team whose job is to defend the freedoms of this country. What's the difference between the Ukrainians and people here? I often talk about how I think we've become wussified in this country. Now, I freely admit, I did not serve. Oh, I got drafted. I mean, I got my draft card, but my number didn't come up. But I come from a military family, as if that means anything. But I just say that because to help you understand that I understand the role of the military. I worked closely with the military when I was the Undersecretary of Homeland Security. But when you have a nation that has become disconnected from the armed forces, you know we're doing something wrong. And I think that is we're failing in public education to instill an appreciation of the birth of this country, the turmoil that this country has gone through both internally and externally in order to survive. We have fought over slavery. We have fought over economics. We have fought over politics. We have fought to defend Europe. We rebuilt Japan. We rebuilt Europe. We've done a lot of things that are good in this country. And, of course, we've done some stupid stuff, too. And we've done some really bad stuff. But I don't think we teach any of it anymore. And if we do teach any of it, we're teaching only the bad stuff. So that people, you know, I had a texter from the weekday show tell me about being at a 4th of July party where the subject of this country came up. And a 20-something at that party said that she actually hates America. Now, here she is at a 4th of July celebration. Probably has, you know, the latest technological gadgets, has everything she could probably ask for, and she hates this country. You see, I think the disconnect is we don't teach civics. We don't teach the history of this country, both the good and the bad. And when we do teach history, we just focus on the bad. And I also think we don't have a perspective. Remember I said earlier I think perception is reality? If your perception is that everything that you're taught about this country is bad, then your perception of this country is bad, and that becomes your reality. And compare and contrast that 20-something that hates this country to that 60-something that's in Ukraine that would rather be on the front lines fighting to defend his country against invaders versus the 20-something that's sitting at a barbecue munching on a hamburger or whatever she's munching on and having a great time, enjoying all of the freedoms that we have, and yet she hates the country. That's got to be fixed. Now, how? I don't know. I think we ought to start teaching civics. I think we ought to have some objective history being taught. And we ought to teach people about how great this country and the great things this country has done, as opposed to constantly denigrating. Maybe then, and maybe only then, people will realize how lucky they are. When we get back, let's go to the Netherlands. The Prime Minister in the Netherlands has resigned. Why? Stay tuned. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Mike or Michael to 33103. Go to the website, michaelsaysgohere.com. Subscribe to the podcast, The Dutch Prime Minister Resigns. Could that something like that happen here for the same reason? Stay tuned.
When's the last time you checked the legal title to your home? What if your home's title, the document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? That's home title theft. Our home's titles are online. Once a criminal forges your signature, it's a race against time to stop him before he takes out loans against your home, or worse, sells it. When's the last time you checked your home's title? Our partners at Home Title Lock demonstrated how criminals do it. In minutes, they found the titles to homes belonging to our staff with forged signatures, saying our staff had sold them their homes. Some criminal was now the owner. It's shocking, but Home Title Lock helps shut it down. That's what they do better than anyone. How do you know some criminal hasn't taken over the title to your home? Find out for free with sign up when you use promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. That's promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. And your first 30 days of protection are free. Do this today at HomeTitleLock.com.
Join Tokens Radio Show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Tokens Radio Show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
It's obvious today that the biblical idea of the family is under attack. Emissaries of Satan are determined to alter the institution of marriage to accommodate those who deny that marriage is only between a man and a woman, in spite of how God designed it to be from the beginning.
That's the sad truth, but we at Shasta Bible College and Graduate School want to equip today's young people and adults to withstand these efforts to marginalize the family with our Marriage and Family Biblical Counseling class. This class will affirm God's purpose for marriage, His intended roles for husband and wife, His precepts for effective communication, and His design for biblical sexuality.
I'm Dr. Dave Nicholas here with Chaplain Jane D'Angelo. Jane, I understand that you will be teaching this class. How can interested listeners get more info on this strategic effort to counter the current cultural distortions of God's plan for marriage?
Just call 530-221-4275 today. That's 530-221-4275.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
American Ironworks, specializing in custom fabrication from designer gates, decorative railings, handmade furnishings to giant works of art. With over 20 years of experience in Northern California, American Ironworks provides the highest quality of craftsmanship for your home or commercial space. American Ironworks also offers hand-sketched and 3D graphic designs to help bring your concept to reality. Visit our website and social media at American Ironworks or call 530-949-0710, 530-949-0710.
Hey, welcome back to the Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Appreciate you tuning in. Before we get to the Dutch Prime Minister, I just ran across a soundbite that I want to share with you. And it shows that when you play identity politics and you decide that you're going to select someone based on everything other than their qualifications, that you're going to get what you paid for. You're going to get a really lousy product, or in this case, a really lousy employee, or a really lousy vice president. Kamala Harris wasn't able to garner one single delegate during the 2020 campaign with Biden for the presidency. Not one. And she even accused Joe Biden of being a racist, which he may or may not be, but nonetheless, you decide, though, that, hey, listen, I got to win at all costs, and so I'm going to find and pick the first female, mixed race, black, however you want to describe her, individual, regardless of her qualifications, regardless of her ability to speak the English language, regardless of anything, I'm going to hire her because, well, I guess identity politics is how I'm going to do all of my business. She's also the czar of artificial intelligence. But then again, she's the czar of immigration. We might as well make her the czar of everything, because so far, none of those jobs have taken up any time. So identity politics makes Kamala Harris, the conspicuously unqualified Kamala Harris, as Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden is barely alive. And this is what stands ready to replace him at any given moment.
Well, I think culture is a reflection of our moment and our time, right? And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment. And we should always find times to express how we feel about the moment that is a reflection of joy, because, you know, it comes in the morning. We have to find ways to also express the way we feel about the moment in terms of just having language and a connection to how people are experiencing life. And I think about it in that way, too.
I want you to suffer through this one more time, because I want you to think this is more than a word salad. Because a word salad consists of a whole bunch of different words. But again, we're approaching time. We'll maybe you'll hear that in a minute, too. Remember her whole discussion about time and moments of time? She's trying to explain culture. Tell me what you can text your explanation to me. Text your explanation by texting the word Mike or Michael to 33103. What's she really saying here? Because I really think this is some language that, again, the artificial intelligence czar is way above my head. So someone explain to this old country boy, what's she saying?
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time, right? And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment. And we should always find times to express how we feel about the moment that is a reflection.
We should always find time to express how we feel about the moment in time. Wow. Text the word Michael to 33103. I'll be right back.
Keep it right here. You've got The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Are you Tired of watching stock market swings? Want to say goodbye to the wild shifts in your portfolio? You deserve an investment that delivers consistent monthly returns and is built on solid American ground. Phoenix Capital Group invites you to invest in the heart of America and support U.S. energy independence. They're introducing investors to high-value oil and gas investments here in the U.S. They connect private investors like you with investments in tangible oil and gas assets. Phoenix Capital Group offers high-yield corporate bonds to investors with returns of 8 to 12% annual interest paid monthly. These are corporate bond offerings and they're open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. To find out more, download the Phoenix Capital Group's free investor guide packet today at investingwithphoenix.com. Before making investment decisions, you should carefully consider and review all risks involved. Learn how to diversify your portfolio and earn 8 to 12% annual interest with Phoenix Capital Group. Learn more and invest in America at investingwithphoenix.com. That's investingwithphoenix.com.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. Shasta County mining can be divided into three distinct episodes. The gold rush erupted in 1849, it peaked in the 1850s and faded by the late 1850s. Soon thereafter, surveyors began laying out township, ranges, sections, and mining properties. Early placer mining efforts during the gold rush were gradually but not totally supplanted by later hydraulic load and dredge techniques. The second major mining type was copper mining, which became a major industry in the 1880s and replaced gold in 1896 as the number one mineral produced in Shasta County. Copper mining was a tremendous economic stimulus to Shasta County. Copper was mined until 1869, with peak production years occurring from 1897 to 1919 and during 1924 and 1925. The third wave of gold production peaked again from 1908 to 1915 and once more from 1936 to 1941 during the Depression when the price of gold rose from $20 to $35 an ounce. Contributed by Dottie Smith.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Come join Reading Electric Utility in celebrating Public Power Week on Friday, October 6th. This year's free family events will be held in downtown Reading on the Market Street block. There will be electric safety demonstrations, bucket truck rides, police and fire demonstrations, and free treats. This event will include energy-efficient raffle prizes, including a new e-bike. Come join this celebration on Friday, October 6th from 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. For more information, call 339-7300 or visit our Facebook page at Reading Electric Utility.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie.
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Well, this is the week we got a new iconic mugshot. Let's see. Who all do we have mugshots of? Frank Sinatra, Martin Luther King, Elvis Presley. Damien, do we have a mugshot of Tupac? Yeah, we got a mugshot of Tupac. Who else do we have? We got some pretty iconic mugshots. Now we got a new one. A former president of the United States of America, Donald John Trump Jr. Wow. I find it fascinating to hear what everybody has to say about the mugshot. Now, I freely admit to a lot of curiosity about what would he do. Would he look straight into the camera, you know, with steely eyes, you know, kind of squinted like, you know, I'm coming for you, which I found funny because some of the ladies on The View and other places talked about why he looked threat. He was trying to intimidate the prosecutor. Wait a minute. How's Trump going to intimidate the prosecutor? Because the prosecutor has already gone to a grand jury and has indicted him on criminal charges. So what's there to intimidate? She's already done what her job is. Now, I may disagree with what she's done, but that's what the job of a prosecutor is. And what I find funny is, whoever made that comment, was it Whoopi? I don't know who it was. I don't care who it was. But mugshots get taken every single day. Sometimes they're really crazy. Like, oh, what was the actor? What was that crazy actor who had the wild and crazy mugshot? Do you think that intimidated a prosecutor? Did we ever see the mugshot of Paul Pelosi? Did we ever see that mugshot? Mugshots are taken every single day. I don't think there's ever been a sheriff or a deputy sheriff, whoever's operating the camera, or a prosecutor or a judge who has ever been intimidated by a mugshot. It's a photograph. And if you're intimidated by a photograph, well, there might be something wrong with it. So I want to spend just a little bit of time, and I'm going to talk about the mugshot in a minute, but instead I want to go through a series of sound bites of either the mugshot itself or his trip to the Fulton County Jail and what some of the talking heads have to say about it, because they're just absolutely insane. This is Ben Domenech. Ben Domenech is married to John McCain's daughter. Ben Domenech he was originally one of the founders of the Federalist website, and he's now a talking head on Fox News. He had this to say.
Now, Ben, you made some of these great points on my podcast this week, but I want to reiterate something here. Once in a while, even one of the reporters at the other networks gets a light bulb. Watch this.
This primary electorate really wants someone who they feel is fighting for them. They want someone who is flexing their muscles and showing that in fundraising, in fighting the establishment, even though the establishment here is the criminal justice system.
That's a CNN political reporter actually seeing what the GOP electorate wants to see.
He's a lot better than that trash analyst, John Heilman, who you made me watch more than I've had to see in many years. No, I accept your apology. Look, they have run into something, I think, here that they have completely underestimated, which is they have devoted so much of their time to trying to go after the former president that they have failed to have any kind of agenda that was promised by them in the 2020 election, anything that would actually satisfy the demands of working people across this country, the demands of the middle class. They've treated the failure of the Inflation Reduction Act as if it was something that was just, you know, a speed bump, something along the road to just inevitable reelection. When in reality, what they've done is taken their eye off the ball, and now they're trying to make up for it by saying, well, you can't reelect this guy because he's so dangerous. He's so dangerous to, you know, democracy and the Constitution and the like. But when people see something like this, I think it makes things very real for them. The idea of looking at an image, a mugshot of a former president, it's kind of disgusting in a way that I think that will actually lead to a backlash, a serious backlash against the Democrats who have pursued this. No one wants to see this. They don't think that it's the right thing to do to any former president. You know, Republicans didn't go after Bill Clinton, you know, after he left office. We didn't see the kind of, you know, going after George W. Bush, you know, over, you know, Iraq war, war crimes or whatever you wanted to suggest. The same with Barack Obama. And now Donald Trump gets this kind of treatment. This may be the first mugshot that we have of a former president, but they're setting it up so it won't be the last. And that's the thing that I think they're underestimating right about this whole scenario. They have opened up a Pandora's box, and they don't know what's going to come next.
And I think many people agree with that. I might agree with it, but I don't want that to happen. I don't want us to devolve into a country where we go after political opponents, either while they're in office. You know, if a political opponent, while in office, does something that rises to the constitutional level of a high crime and misdemeanor, then they should be impeached. Impeach is the constitutional process by which the founders established that if a politician, someone in office, he could be an attorney general, he could be a member of Congress, he could be a federal district judge, he could be the president, he could be the vice president. The process for handling their so-called high crimes and misdemeanors is impeachment. They get charged by the House of Representatives, and then that charge gets transmitted to the United States Senate, and the United States Senate has to vote two-thirds to convict and then remove that person from office. That's how our system works. We are not Venezuela. We don't take our political opponents and throw them in jail, or in this case, the equivalent of throwing Trump in jail. He had to post a bond. If he hadn't posted the bond, which obviously he could have, if he had not posted the bond, what were they going to do? Put him in jail? Put him in the Fulton County Jail? Were they literally going to think about putting him in the Fulton County Jail and then what? Post Secret Service agents outside the jail? This is insanity. But the point that Ben Domenech makes that I really find troubling is the idea that they don't know what's going to come next, that they have opened up a Pandora's box. Does this mean then this can become tit for tat, that any time a Democrat does something, that the Republicans are going to go, they're going to go after that person once they leave office? I don't want that. Now, maybe you differ. Maybe you think, for example, that Joe Biden has committed crimes of some sort, and that we ought to go after him. If Joe Biden has committed crimes, if Joe Biden has taken bribes, the proper mechanism for getting him held accountable is to impeach him. And Republicans could do that. And if Republicans presented a strong enough case, you can call me naive here if you want to, but if Republicans presented a strong enough case that he indeed had taken bribes, and that evidence was overwhelming, I think there are Democrats in the United States Senate, no, not Pelosi, not Chuck Schumer, none of them, but there are Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema. There are other moderate Democrats who would say, you know what, I have to do the right thing. I have to do the right thing. Because I took an oath to the Constitution, and I have to vote to convict Joe Biden on these articles of impeachment. But to think that we're just going to, you know, wait till he gets out of office, and then we're going to, if a Republican wins, we're then going to go after him for taking a bribe from back when he was vice president? No, the time to deal with that is now. But you know why we don't? We don't do it because, one, Republicans don't have any cojones. They don't have any testicles. Republicans won't do anything. And then the problem with the Democrats are blind to all of this. To them, it's just business as usual. When we get back, I want you to hear some more of the sound bites of what the talking heads are saying about the infamous mugshot. That's next.
Your pet isn't just a pet. They're part of your family, and you want to give them the best, and you want to feed them the best food. 70% of your dog's immune system is based on their gut, which can impact their overall health. Nutritional deficiencies produce issues like itching, scratching, and a weak immune system. Dynavite has been shown to improve overall pup health. Take it from one of their customers.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess, always itching. His paws were soaking wet from constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shot steroids into my dog all the time. Probably 2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. Today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Try Dynavite for free. Just pay shipping and handling. Learn more at dinovite.com/radio. That's dinovite.com/radio.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Now, The Weekend with Michael Brown continues.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Text the word Michael, Michael to 33103. We're talking about the famous mugshot. And everybody, it's truly fascinating to me how this, and it will, don't trust me on this one. This will become an iconic photograph in American history. We may not always think about Elvis Presley's mugshot, or Lindsay Lohan's mugshot, or Tupac's mugshot, or Frank Sinatra's mugshot, or Martin Luther King Jr.'s mugshot. But in American history, there have been mugshots, and this one is unique. It's the first mugshot of a former president. And the reaction to it, I think, is what's best. Let's go to Byron Donalds. Before we get to some of the left side of the political spectrum, let's go to Byron Donalds, who is a congressman from Florida, who is a fairly avid Trump supporter.
Congressman, I think this is in the process of backfiring on the Democrats. They really did think that trying to humiliate Trump in Fulton County would be just one more nail in his coffin, his political coffin. I don't see it.
Neither do I, Laura. I think what people are looking at is that this, the system run by the Democrats, the justice system run by the Democrats, is being wielded for pure politics, just so they can get their proverbial scratch itched. It's ridiculous, and frankly, it's destructive of our country. Meanwhile, all the things that are going on in America that are affecting poor Americans, middle-income Americans, white Americans, black Americans, etc., is being ignored, and the press covers it up. This is going to backfire in a major way, because Americans want our country to function. They don't want it to be used as a political weapon against political rivals.
Exactly. We don't want this. We don't want the criminal justice system used for political purposes. Now, before, and we may have to do this in the next hour, but before we get to those who are delirious over the mugshot, people, the internet sleuth, have started digging into the background of Fannie Willis, who is the Fulton County prosecutor, a black woman who is in a predominantly black county going after Donald Trump. I find that fascinating because I'm watching to find out what poll numbers say. I don't have any data yet, but I'm curious what poll numbers are going to say when the black community looks at this mugshot and thinks to themselves, whether you agree with it or not, they might look at it and say, you know, this is an example of how the system treats people unfairly, and it might create sympathy within the black community because they're going to look at it and say, here's a guy who I may not like him, but here's the system going after him unfairly. Particularly if and when it becomes more broad-based known that, you know what Fannie Willis did? In 2020, Fannie Willis tweeted out numerous tweets in which she claimed that the 2020 election was being stolen by Donald Trump. So the same thing that she's prosecuting Donald Trump for, trying to steal an election, she was claiming on Twitter that he was trying to steal an election. And then she, back in 2016, along with all the Democrats, the Hillary Clinton supporters, she was claiming that the 2016 election was stolen. So I guess the conclusion is, you can claim that an election was stolen, and you can do so without any sort of criminality or threat of prosecution as long as you're a Democrat. But if you're a Republican and you claim that an election is being stolen, well, then you're going to get prosecuted. You know, this particular case, I think, is way overreach. As I've said numerous times on the weekday program and the weekend program, that I think the most serious case facing Donald Trump is the Mar-a-Lago documents case. Because there, you have a charge of obstruction of justice. where rather than going to a court and trying to quash a subpoena in which the FBI was asking for documents and they issue a subpoena, instead you try to hide documents, you try to subvert the subpoena. There was a legal process. Trump could have easily followed the legal process. But sometimes Trump can't help himself, and Trump becomes his own worst enemy. He could have said to his lawyers, listen, I got this subpoena. Look, here it is right here. Go down to the federal courthouse, file a motion to quash this subpoena, go argue it in court. I won't do anything with the documents. And in fact, every CEO in this country knows. In fact, I would say most business owners know. You don't have to be a CEO. I think most people know that if somehow you get involved in litigation over, say, a contract dispute, you got a contract dispute with a roofer, with a landscaper, with somebody that's providing you some sort of services, and you get into some sort of legal dispute, you understand that you need to preserve emails. You need to preserve documents. You don't start destroying documents, because I think everybody kind of intuitively knows that's obstruction of justice. Even if you got things that are going to hurt your case, we know that it's worse to try, because we always know, the cover-up is worse than the crime. And in the Mar-a-Lago case, that's what Trump did. And I think that's where he faces the most serious legal consequences. But this case, bringing a RICO case, is way over the top. RICO, which is designed to go after organized crime, but is also a tactic by which you can bring in evidence of other charges that you haven't brought against a person, you can actually use those to show the conspiracy. But the conspiracy has to be in the furtherance of something. The conspiracy has to be an ongoing conspiracy. There was no ongoing conspiracy here. And if you want to question the phone call that Donald Trump made to Raffensperger, in which he said, you know, I got to find 11,000 votes. Every politician who, I shouldn't say every politician, but virtually every politician who has ever lost an election, who has ever lost a campaign, has said to his campaign manager, to his lawyers, I lost by 500 votes. Go find those 500 votes. You're not saying by saying that, go make up 500 votes. You're saying, go do a recount. Go do an audit. Go check the rolls. Find out if people who shouldn't have voted in this precinct voted in this precinct. Do those things. Text the word Michael to 33103. What's your take on the mugshot? What do you think about it? Tell me. I'll be right back.
Tuned. You're listening to The Week. When's the last time you checked the legal title to your home? What if your home's title, the document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? That's home title theft. Our home's titles are online. Once a criminal forges your signature, it's a race against time to stop him before he takes out loans against your home, or worse, sells it. When's the last time you checked your home's title? Our partners at Home Title Lock demonstrated how criminals do it. In minutes, they found the titles to homes belonging to our staff with forged signatures, saying our staff had sold them their homes. Some criminal was now the owner. It's shocking, but Home Title Lock helps shut it down. That's what they do better than anyone. How do you know some criminal hasn't taken over the title to your home? Find out for free with sign up when you use promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. That's promo code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. And your first 30 days of protection are free. Do this today at HomeTitleLock.com.
Thank you. This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.